As we walk this journey called life, we seek to find those things that bring joy to our existence. We want to embrace love, desire, and passion through healthy human connections. We want and need to discover meaning to the steps we take daily. The challenges of breaking barriers stir up our spirit as we prove our individual importance. The value of life is precious as we assist others to discover their way. The legacy of our being is found in the donations we make in those outside of ourselves. Success in this journey takes focus and commitment to winning. The victory is in not allowing fractured beliefs of the masses to impact the rules we have made work for ourselves. This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection. We come to you 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m., Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and Sunday at 8:30 Eastern Time. We have a platform for your voice to be heard loud and clear and unfiltered. It is time that we speak for ourselves so that others completely understand the direction we want our country to go in. No longer can we sit on the sidelines and allow others to select our direction. It is time for people of color to use the internet to make sure their voices are heard beyond a couple of streets. Our thoughts and needs and desires need to be heard around the world. And Thoughts, Love, and Reflection is that platform that you can be assured that your thoughts and feelings will be respected and heard without challenge. It is time for us to come together and make sure that we're not left behind. This is your host, James T. Deshaies, looking forward to have you call in to the show at 657-383-0309. 7 days a week, we want to be heard loud and clear.
USI never had it so good. 101.1 radio, the best R&B and hip hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1, and it's 24/7, the world's best radio station.
This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. You know, I'm very excited about being here today because we have our guest, one of our guest hosts on, Gretchen Gimps-Simmons, who is a real estate agent and event planner. And she's going to talk to us about the important things that we need to know in regards to real estate and investing and creating a legacy. And she's going to be one of our permanent guest hosts on the show once a month. the first Wednesday of every month. And so we want to just have this opportunity to talk to someone who can definitely give us some insight into how we can create an environment for ourselves that makes it strong using real estate and other devices that have been possibly not open to us or as open to us as they should be. I'm going to take a short break and come back and introduce her to you as we wait for the other callers to come online.
Drumming my pain with his fingers, singing my life with his words, killing me softly with his song, killing me softly with his song, telling my whole life with his words, killing me softly. He sang
James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. Welcome, Gretchen. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing well, Mr. Deshay. How are you doing?
I am doing awesome. I am so excited about having you here. This is Gretchen Simmons, and she is in real estate and event planning, and she's going to be with our team hopefully for a very, very long time. And she wants to spend some time talking to us about the importance of real estate investment. And we just want to give her an opportunity to help us learn how to develop and create a legacy of wealth through real estate. Can you give us a little information about your background and how you have gotten to this point?
Well, it's been a long road and taken some turns. Formerly, I was a TV news producer and did that for a number of years. And then after that, I worked as a program coordinator with the Diocese of Orlando. And in 2000, I made a career shift and went into real estate. So I've been doing primarily residential real estate since then.
Why do you feel that real estate is an important aspect that has not been tapped into the way it should be related to African Americans and creating wealth and a legacy for ourselves and our families?
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with the need to plan, especially with an income that is significantly less than a lot of counterparts. The Pew Research Center did a study last year that came out in June of last year and found that black households probably made just over half of what white households made. And then the wealth between blacks and whites, white households were about 13 times as wealthy as black households. So we want a lot of the same things, but for us, we have to do a lot more planning and be a little bit more strategic with what we have because we have a lot less.
And, you know, I find that so interesting because I have heard, and again, you know, I'm not as well read as I'd like to be, but I have heard that African Americans at one point, many, many years ago, owned more land and had sizable amounts of land ownership in the South than they do presently. And I know that my family or my grandfather owns about 100 acres in South Carolina, but I've been told that land ownership has been dwindling over time instead of increasing.
Well, in my opinion, a lot of that has to do with when you have a little bit, you tend to take care of and maintain it better than when you have access to a lot more because you take that for granted and figure that's always going to be there. And what we have to get back to is to taking care of the little bit that we have and making it grow and not just taking it for granted that it'll always be there or that there's some other avenue around the corner. You know, no get-rich schemes or anything like that. We have to be patient. I mean, we have to be more diligent and more astute about what we're doing with our money and our assets, our land, what we have in our accounts, even our assets in terms of our networking, how we treat people and, you know, what's going to get us to the place where we want.
Well, what would you think, both for young people and those of us who are nearing retirement, what would be some good steps for us to take to get involved in real estate or to use real estate as a way of firming up or giving ourselves a good foundation for the future?
Well, one of the things I would suggest is to really pay attention to a lot of the articles that are available on the internet, as well as talking to different people that you know that have been successful in owning homes and purchasing property. They have war stories. They have the stories that tell you what they were successful in, what they failed at and what they learned from that in order to go forward. So the first thing I would say is to look at what you have, where you are, where you want to be. Is it possible? And if it's possible, how do I get from point A to point B? You have to have a plan. Just as when people put money into the stock market, they have a strategy or they have someone that they work with that has a strategy in terms of how that's going to make them more money. The same applies here.
Well, one of the things that are very confusing to me, even on the lowest levels, is that you have people who, in some senses, are having to have $2,000 or more to move into an apartment and who are spending upwards of $900 to $1,200 a month in rent, which seemed to me would be as much as home ownership. So how do people get out of the continual renting environment and move over to the ownership environment?
Well, one of the things you have to recognize with rent versus paying a mortgage is that when you're paying rent, you're paying pretty much one item, and that's for your monthly rent over and over and over again. The other things that are not necessarily included in that are your utilities, your taxes, your insurance, your maintenance, all of that. So when you purchase a home with a mortgage, a lot of times what you see for that same amount of money is included in that is taxes and insurance and some possibly some other things. So the one thing you've got to look at is that it's just a different scenario. So when someone tells you, when you say to, let's say, a mortgage company, I can afford $1,200 a month, that's what I'm paying now in rent. Well, that's okay for rent, but when you're purchasing a home where you're not paying, whereas with rent you're not paying taxes, you're not paying for insurance, with a mortgage, that is included in that amount. So you're probably going to get less per your, let's say, rental dollar with a mortgage than you are for purchasing a home than you are with a rental property. So a lot of that has to do with a lot of pre-planning and a lot of saving. And like I said, a lot of patience and a lot of knowing what the resources are out there in order to make your first home purchase.
Well, we've lived through several decades where it seems that people are using rental property as a way of growing wealth, or suggest that they're using rental property as a way of growing wealth, and that there are many ways for people to get involved in the real estate market. How truthful are some of these stories that we hear from rags to riches related to real estate?
Well, it just depends on the story, and it depends on where that person started from. Did that person have some sort of resources that they, let's say, received from a relative or received from, you know, a property? Let's say a family member passes away and passes along some property or some money to you. You mentioned, for example, you have a relative who has some property in the Carolinas. Now, how that property is divided up between heirs, you know, that makes a difference too. You know, what is one heir do with their portion of the inheritance versus the other heir? Do you reinvest it in property? Do you reinvest it in stocks or CDs or whatever the case may be? Depending on your timeline, you want to look at, maybe I would suggest diversifying where you're putting your money so that you get the best return and that some of it isn't, that all of it isn't risked in a high-risk situation, or all of it isn't put into a situation where you're getting the least amount of return on. There are various ways. I'll give you an example for me. About 3 years ago, I was listening to this lady, Sandra Edmonds. She teaches about how to purchase tax lien and tax deed properties. She taught a class. I decided, I'm going to go ahead and purchase a tax deed property. And there is a difference between the tax lien and the tax deed, and I won't get into that today. Purchased the property for $9,900. It was a corner lot in Apopka. Now, I've had a few chances to sell it, and it's being, you know, in the process of being sold at this time for substantially more. But if it was, let's say, free and clear, I stand to make a good amount of money. However, there was a substantial lien on the property that I missed in my haste to purchase the property and not doing the research. So doing the research, and like I said, being patient is key to a lot of things. I'm still going to do okay, but not as well as I had anticipated or hoped or expected. A lot of it has to do with waiting because the property values have gone up. So it's a lot of research. It's a lot of strategy, taking the time and knowing what, you know, and figuring out what your timeline is and where can you get other money. How much are you saving? What are you willing to sacrifice? Because that's key, too. Are you willing to cut out, you know, the eating out a lot? That can get pretty expensive, you know, the going out a lot, you know, or you know, are you going to, let's say, substitute, you know, a dinner at the Cheesecake Factory with one with cheesecake at home, you know, basically? What are you going to do in order to make that dream happen for you?
We are at our 30-minute mark. We're going to take a short break, and then we're going to come back and allow our audience to ask some questions. So I want everybody to get prepared with their questions, and we'll be right back. This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. Kathy, welcome to the show. Kathy, do you have any questions for Gretchen at this time?
Hi, good afternoon, James and Gretchen and the rest of the family. Yeah, I have a couple of questions. My first question is, because I live in California, so is the way that the market is set up, is it different Florida than it is in California, because we rent our home, but we pay for gas, we pay for light, we pay for trash, we pay for all of that. So we're actually paying, you know, what a person that's and we pay for insurance. We're actually paying what a person who was purchasing a home would pay for. So it's like we're paying for their mortgage. So that's why I wanted to know.
Hi, Kathy. How you doing?
I'm good.
Good. Good to talk to you. Now, like I said, to be honest, I am from Florida, so I can't speak totally for California. But now, you said you're paying, for example, insurance. Are you paying renter's insurance? Or are you paying homeowner's insurance? Okay, because there's a big difference between renter's insurance and homeowner's insurance. Your renter's insurance is going to cover your valuables that you bring in primarily, from what I understand now. Like I said, I can't necessarily speak totally to California. But from what I understand, your renter's insurance is going to cover your items, you know, your personal belongings. Now, and damages, let's say, that might be caused from, let's say, theft or something. Let's say you have a water leak or something that happens. You know, there's probably a variety of insurances that cover that. However, your homeowner's insurance is going to cover a different scenario. And there, you know, are a variety of homeowner's insurance. You have the one that's going to cover the structure. You're going to have part of that that's going to cover your personal belongings. And there's a certain amount, you could say like a replacement amount for the structure and for the valuables in your home. You also, depending on how your home is situated, you have to pay for flood insurance as well, in Florida, for example. So a lot of that, some of that is outside of what you would pay for. So, for example, your renter's insurance is probably going to be a lot less than your homeowner's insurance is going to be.
Okay, so one more question. I know, because we're trying to purchase a house now, and I know that it has a lot to do with your credit as well.
Right.
So if you have a great credit score, then that brings down the interest rate. But if your credit score is not so great, they try to get you to pay off things and to bring your credit score up, but it still makes the interest rate high, right?
Well, there's a lot of things involved with the interest rate, but that's part of it. A lot of it also, too, has to do with some of the things that are happening now with the government, and I'm sure you've heard about stuff going on with the Reserve. And a lot of times, too, because of a lot of stuff that has happened in the last 10 years with the homeowners market, we've had good rates now, but they are starting to creep up. But the one thing I wanted to say, and I should have prefaced this from the beginning because I want to get this out there and want everybody to understand, no matter what your scenario is, cash is king as far as I'm concerned. The more cash or the more assets that you're able to bring to the table with your homeowner's purchase, the better, because things come up. But the key thing is the more you're able to, let's say, put down, the lower your mortgage payment is going to be. It's key that you invest as much as possible in order to get a lot of the rate down, to get the mortgage down. But at the same time, when I'm saying that, I would also say take a look at when you're buying. If you're buying at a time when the interest rate is at its peak, if you're buying when the property values are at their peak, unless you absolutely, positively have to buy a house at that time, don't buy it. Like I say, you have to have a strategy involved. And so in some cases, you have to pick up and move. That's just that's just the way it is.
Okay,
but one thing I would say is save. Yes, go ahead.
One more question. I'm sorry, and then I'm going to let James move on.
No, that's
so,
okay.
So is the market at its peak now? Is this a good time or is it not?
In, for example, where I am right now, I would say it's a good time because, like I said, the interest rates are starting to creep up. We've had interest rates as low as 3 point something, and now they're 4 point something. and what's happening also in our market. I'm not sure about California, but there's not as much out there. It's almost reflective of when I bought my property about 10 years ago. When we started looking at properties and narrowing down the list, there were like 10 properties left for us to choose from when we finally made a decision that were in our criteria. Not saying there were just 10 properties out there, period, but you know you have a criteria. How many bedrooms, how many bathrooms, how many square feet? Do you want a pool? Do you want a fireplace? Do you want a garage? You know, all of that. So when you're looking at that, you know, you have the criteria gets narrower, more and more narrow. So what I would suggest, if you can buy now, I would say buy now, but you're going to have to be patient because it may or may not be that the property you're looking for is out there. You might have to make a compromise. Or in some cases, it may be a good idea to buy if you have the money, if you have the time and you have the patience to buy something that you don't mind fixing up. There are loans out there for that type of scenario, too, that FHA has them. They're called renovation loans or 203K loans or whatever, and they, you know, you're able to use those in order to do some of the work on your properties and get them fixed up.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Do you have any questions?
Yes, I do. Thank you, Ms. Gresham, for taking the opportunity to spend time with us and bring your expertise to our forum. My question is, the last President Obama administration, to me seems to have put a lot of effort into trying to lower the bar to where people of color could take advantage of certain situations and to better themselves and when it comes down to buying a home or first-time buyers scenarios. My question to you is, with this new administration, should we expect some of those subsidies and programs to be snatched away from people of color to where those advantages won't be available anymore?
Thank you for your question. I don't know if I can necessarily speak to what's going to happen because the administration is very new. But I will say this, for first-time home buyers, for any buyers, like I was stating before, it's important to bring assets to the table. You have down payment assistance programs and all types of programs, the neighborhood programs where they're trying to revitalize certain neighborhoods. And there are some benefits to those programs, but you can't just come there without anything, no matter what the program is. A lot of times you have to bring 3% or 3.5% as a down payment to go with whatever program is out there, because they're only going to cover a certain amount, and it just really depends on the program. But at the same time, you've got to pay for inspections and appraisals. There's a whole process involved, and these are out-of-pocket expenses that you have to do. You have to have escrow money coming in to a lot of these cases, and in some cases it's as minimal as $500 to $1,000, but in a lot of cases they want a certain percentage of what the property is valued at because they want to make sure that you're a serious buyer. So I would just plan on having something. You also don't want to move into a house and have no money to buy furniture, you know, no money to turn on your utilities or your entertainment. So you have to plan and have some kind of money to go in, because even with those programs out there, the more you are able to bring to the table, the less reliant you are on those programs, because a lot of them have certain criteria. You have to stay in the house a certain amount of time. You can't rent the house out. You have to be the primary occupant. So these are things that, you know, some of that money you have to pay back if you break some of these contracts. So you have to be very, very careful and read the fine print. But you have to come correct. You have to bring your own money.
Hello?
Yes, I'm sorry. Thank you for the information. Thank you.
I'm sorry. I put myself on mute. Gretchen, in this environment where you have some people who have some monies available to them and may want to invest in a property where they may have to fix it up a little bit and want to rent it out or use it to flip it, as they say, what type of funds do you think they should have at a minimum to get into that kind of game?
I would say the main thing is to have enough money to, let's say, whatever property you're going to purchase or look at is to do an inspection ahead of time, you know, and maybe appraisal. If you have somebody that you know that is willing to go by and do maybe, you know, just a site appraisal without looking into the nooks and crannies, or, you know, a site an inspection without looking into the nooks and crannies, that's good. That will give you some idea of what's going to be involved in the property that you're going to buy, because it depends on how damaged the property is. You know, so you can't necessarily say $60,000, let's say, to go in to renovate a property where it actually might take $100,000 to renovate it. And you then at that point you have to pick and choose if you still want the property and what you're going to invest in it, how much you're willing to do now and how much you can get away with doing later, you know. And it also depends, too, if you're coming with a loan, a lender is not going to let you borrow too much more than the property is worth. They're just not going to do it. With the rental loans, you can actually, if you get a contractor and an appraiser to come out and take a look at the property, in a lot of those cases, they can tell you, okay, it's worth this now. It could possibly be worth this once we do A, B, and C. And you have, but there's only certain lenders that are actually willing to do those renovation loans. So you've got to check and make sure that you have the right lender, as well as having the funds to deal with a renovation project. It's a task, but it could be well worth it.
All right. We're going to take another short break. Everybody get their questions together, and we'll return and continue our conversation.
just came to see you'd never do that to me.
Would you, babe?
Being around you is all I need. Is what I want to do. Hey, we ought to stay together. Loving you.
This is James T. Deshay, the host of Fox Love and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. We're here with Gretchen Simmons giving us information in regards to real estate, and we just want to make sure that we ask the kind of questions that give us some insight into what steps we need to do or take to put ourselves in the right position to get involved in real estate, and if it's the right time or the right move for us to purchase our own home. Gretchen, in terms of investment, what kind of money would you suggest that we have in place to make a move and to start some planning into getting into real estate investment? Are you with us, Gretchen?
Yes, I am. Got lost a little bit from it.
Okay. My question was, what amount of money do you think we should have in place if we want to invest in real estate before we start the planning process? I know that you say planning is important, but before we invest time in planning, is there a amount that you think we should have prepared or saved to get involved in real estate investment?
Well, like I said before, it really depends. For example, do you want to invest in a single family home? Do you want to invest in a multifamily, let's say duplex or triplex or quad, or are you wanting to invest in commercial property? Do you have a partner? You know, what are you using in terms of supporting this? Are you planning on mortgaging your house, or are you saving cash? That's what I'm saying. There's a lot of questions you need to ask yourself before you make that move. Because first of all, you don't want to put your livelihood in jeopardy. You don't want to put the property that you already have in jeopardy unless it's something that you're planning on, let's say, selling or using. You're okay with using as collateral in order to make that investment, and you're secure in doing that. But I would say start out slowly. There are a variety of ways to make purchases or a variety of types of property out there. You may want to go in, let's say, as a co-op or something with a group of people and make an investment on some rental property. There's also ways for people that are, let's say, planning on retiring, and let's say you have an IRA, there are ways of doing what's called a self-directed IRA, where people can purchase real estate through their IRAs, and that money that comes from the rental of, let's say, that property or whatever goes into the IRA. You don't touch it personally. It goes into the IRA. But also what comes out of that IRA money for that real estate are the expenses for the maintenance and upkeep for the property. So, you have to be careful with it. But that is a way to do that as well. For let's say, retirees, also another way to purchase property, but it's your primary residence. But another way to purchase property is using what they call a HECM loan. It's formerly known as a reverse mortgage. And I know a lot of people are shaky about that, but it's similar to a reverse mortgage, let me say that. But they've done a lot of changes with the program where older people can buy real estate using the HECM loan and don't have to necessarily worry about the monthly payments.
Okay. I mean, I know there's so much for us to learn. Audrey, do you have any questions for Gretchen?
I'm just getting on, but I'm very interested in that last statement. And hi, Gretchen. Again, welcome. We're so excited for you to share your expertise with us. I am just wonderful. Thank you. Can you share a little bit, just a little bit more in depth about securing a second loan, meaning that you would have your primary home as your main residence, but you would have a second loan and it would go for a second property. And similar to, like I said, a reverse mortgage, you're not making any payment on it, but you'll be receiving whatever income is associated with that home, that second home,
okay,
that second property.
Well, what is okay? What it's called? It's called a HECM loan, H-E-C-M. Those are the initials for it. And I won't talk about it in depth right now. But what it is basically is a way to purchase your primary residence, possibly using that mortgage. There's a certain criteria that comes with that. For example, you would probably, let's say if you had another property somewhere else, you would probably want to use some of that money to go toward the purchase of the primary property. Yeah, but the HECM loan can only be used for primary property. And any funds that you have outside of that, you could use maybe if you wanted to purchase a second home. But your primary residence has to be used with a HECM loan.
Okay. Thank you. That's better. Thank you.
Okay.
Hi, Gretchen.
Hi.
But with the – this is Joyce from Phoenix,
hi,
Arizona.
Joyce.
But with that HECM loan, but in the end,
yes,
if anything happened to you, but wouldn't you walk away like a reverse, which means that it's like a rental that you pay less. But
mm-hmm.
actually, in the end, it won't be yours. Is that also true with the HECM loan?
Well, kind of. What happens, though, in a lot of those cases, say you have grown children that may want the property, they are given the option to purchase, my understanding anyway, is they're given the
okay.
option to purchase that property outright from the company that has the loan. Unless, you know, in the event like something happens to you.
Okay. Because
you know,
the
so
reason why
there's
I'm
still
asking,
a possibility of purchasing the property through
okay.
other means.
Okay. Because my one of the young ladies who retired, she did it ahead of me. She
mm-hmm.
did a reverse loan, which meant that she
mm-hmm.
said that she won't be leaving anything for her kids. But I don't think she's living freely, but it's so cheap. But then in the end, instead of them having the home from what she, it'll be turned over to whoever, the government or whoever it is that she did the reverse loan to. So is the
right,
HECM
whoever,
loan similar to
who,
that?
Right, whoever has the loan, yeah, the property would get turned into them. But in the meantime, they're not paying anything with. And if you're on a fixed income, that actually works pretty well. But there is
right.
that option for purchase if a child or even you decide, you know, I want to just go ahead and just buy it. I don't necessarily want to do the HECM thing anymore. My understanding is you can get a loan or pay cash or whatever in order to purchase it as if you was just someone else, or if you purchase a bank-owned property or something of that nature.
Now, my next question to you is that as a young person starting out, and that's not me, I'm a retired, so I'm on the back end of it, and we
okay.
are a homeowner, but for a new person
you're still young.
Starting out, what do you suggest to them? How do they do it? Do they rent, like, the minimum? Do they rent, like, for, like, suppose there are people that lives out of state who has property that they're leasing or renting for the people.
Mm-hmm.
So do they get into something like that, which would be fairly cheap? And this way they can save up maybe 2-3 years, and then maybe that fourth year then go, they have enough substantially for a down payment to buy down points if they needed to, but they'll go in really nice. Would that be the best way for a new person, a young person, to kind of really start out to be on a solid foundation?
Right. I mean, I would say definitely save up and to look into to other options, too, in terms of down payment assistance. For example, just using an easy example, $100,000 house.
If your loan is 96.5 and you have to come with 3.5%, that's $3,500. That's not a lot. However, and I have to stress this, you have to come with other money. You have to come with money for escrow. You have to come with money for the inspections and the appraisals. And then there's all kind of stuff, title searches, surveys, all type homeowners insurance. You have to have that going in. Taxes, all of this stuff. Some up front, you don't know if the property is going to need insurance, and then you have to the new home. You, I would say a minimum, and just a minimum, it would be $10,000. But the thing is, you know, that's not necessarily a far-fetched possibility in a few years.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
How about, Gretchen, you know, in the past, a lot of people bought timeshares. Now I don't know if the rules and regulations have changed with timeshares, but if you were a young person, again, just starting out, what are your views as it relates to timeshares?
This is just my personal thing, and I'm not talking against a timeshare at all. It's a good way to, you know, travel the world and see different places and stuff like that. It just depends on what type of risk that young person is willing to take. And the younger you are, the easier it is to take a risk, because if it doesn't work out, you learn from it and you have time to pick up back, you know, again and keep going. I would say if you found a small house, older house. And the reason I say that is because if you're looking, let's say, at a condo or a townhouse, or if you're looking at a big house in a place that has a homeowners association, then you're looking at fees on top of just a plain old house.
Mm-hmm.
Get a small house. Get the fixer-upper. That's what I would do and do the rental loan. And that way, you can, you know, depending on what needs to be done, you can put a lot of your own touches in those fixer-upper homes. But, you know, just be very, very careful. You know, see what type of lender that you're dealing with. And I would just say to young people, ask people that own homes. They will be able to tell you what their experiences have been. You know, and everybody thinks that, you know, older people are just trying to tell younger people what to do, but they're just trying to give them the benefit of their experience. It's up to that young person eventually to make that decision in terms of where they want to spend their money and how. But there's so many articles on the internet. There are so many workshops. When you go to get these funds for down payment assistance and first time home buyers programs, a lot of these places, you have to be certified. You have to take a class. We have courses here that require certification where you're certified for a year to use a certificate to get the assistance that comes with taking that class.
Is there a benefit for timeshares
now? Let me ask you this question.
I know that used to be, I don't know, here in Arizona that with a timeshare, which we do own, but it was years ago when we purchased, we used it as a write-off. But now
tax
I don't think that timeshares could be, right. But is timeshare still a tax write-off?
That I would have to check, and I can bring that back to you or to James in the next program, because I don't want to misspeak. You know, because my involvement is very little in terms of timeshares. But I would just be cautious and be careful. But, you know, I know people that have timeshares. I mean, half of our relatives that are from out of town that come to visit us, relatives and friends, they're coming and staying in a timeshare.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you know, so it can't be all bad. It must be something working, you know. So I would tell you that I will check and I'll find out for you. Be happy to do that. I don't have a lot of personal experience with the timeshare, you know, except that I know a lot of people that use them.
All right, we're going to take another break. I want everybody to stand by and have additional questions, and we'll come right back to finish our conversation as we move forward. This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. Gretchen, I have a question for you, one on a personal level that I've been going through. In a situation where you have, you've just retired and you have a mortgage, a 30-year mortgage won't end until, let's say, 1930, and you find yourself thinking about what would be in your best interest. Would it be in your best interest to lower the payment and go another 30 years, or fight through and just pay it off when it's down to less than $100,000 left? Or I'm going to throw another curve, I guess. or just take part of your retirement and pay it off and be through with it? I know those are a lot of different questions and probably a lot to you'd have to a lot involved in answering that. But I guess I've been in turmoil about what to do in terms of what would be in my best interest in the long term.
Well, number one, a lot of it has to do with what your interest rate is and what the current interest rate is. My understanding is if there's, let's say, about 2 points or 2%, 2 percentages between what your current interest rate is and what your interest rate is and what the current interest rate is, it might be worth looking into in order to refinance it. The other thing is you've got to look in terms of who you're going to refinance that with. Do you belong to a credit union or do you belong to a major bank? Because a lot of times if you belong to a credit union, you might get something a little bit better than what you would get with a bank, possibly. You've got something to look into. But it depends, because you don't want to put yourself into a position where you're tied up with the house and you have other things come up like health issues. I mean, do you need to pull money out of the house? I mean, if you refinance, will you get money out of the house? Do you need them for health issues? That's the primary thing as you get older, is to look at what types of health issues that you're dealing with and will that money help you in terms of taking care of that. The other thing you've got to look into also is what's going to happen. Do you plan on staying in the house? Is the house too big? Do you need to downsize? Do you want to maybe possibly consider some types of senior living options, assisted living, you know, as the years go on, you know, because there are a lot of nice facilities out there, but they are costly. And so you have to look into that. The other thing, you know, what type of benefits are out there for you? Are you a veteran? You know, there's a lot of veterans benefits out there. So the one thing I would say is it worth it to get yourself into an additional 30 years, and who's going to be responsible for that? And then what happens if you fall short on payments and all of these things? So there's a lot to consider, but I would be hard-pressed to say. And personally, I would rather just push through and not tack on the additional years, because once you're finished paying for it, I mean, if at all possible, to be honest, you could, let's say, refinance and actually cut the time. I would that's something I would feel more comfortable with, is if you refinance and cut some of that time off. You know, how many more years do you have? If you only have 10 more years, I'd say push through it and just be done with it.
All right. Regina, do you have any questions that you'd like to ask Gretchen?
No, not at this time. I'm just getting some interesting information. Good evening to everyone, and I will continue to listen. Thank you.
Good evening. Thanks for listening.
Gretchen, are there any things that you would like to share with our callers, the people who called in, or that you think that people of color are not fully understanding about how they can make some positive steps into creating a better environment for themselves financially?
I would say, like I said, first of all, and I know I sound like I'm repeating myself, but I work with a lot of first-time homebuyers, and I work with a lot of people who aren't first-time homebuyers, and I cannot stress enough how much the planning and preparation and research is important. And also, I would say make sure you get second opinions, because you may be listening and hearing one thing from one person, but you may not be clear on it, and you may want to get clarification. I say if you're spending your money, there is nothing wrong with getting another opinion from someone else just to get clarification, just to, you know, have peace of mind. Because a real estate investment, and that's what all of it is, even if it's your personal home and you get excited and giddy about how it looks and how it feels and all of the nice touches, it's an investment. It's probably the biggest investment you're going to make in your lifetime, other than purchasing a car or getting married. your expenditures are going to be substantial. And I always say your home is your next place of solitude and your fortress before you, you know, die and go to heaven. You know, so you want it to be comfortable, and not comfortable just in how you fix it up and how you nest it and all that type of stuff, but in terms of what you're putting into it financially, and are you going to be comfortable with the payments? Are you going to be worried? If you're going to be in the house and you're worried about it all the time, then you need to look at, you know, going into the right home that's for you at that time. And not every home is a forever home. So you may get into this home and you're in there 5 or 10 years, whatever's good for you, and then you may have to go to the next one. And especially if you have children, picking the home is very, very important, because you have to look at schools and school districts. You have to look at the crime. You have to look at how long will the house be suitable for you? How is your family growing? So just be very, very careful when you're making these decisions.
All right. You know, it's so important for us to know that we need to, the planning part of it. I know that, you know, sometimes we get caught up, like you say, in the giddy part of it, but we need to really sit and plan and save and be focused on eliminating waste. I know that I have a lot of waste in as a single person, because I'll, at a drop of a hat, I'll go out and eat out or order something in and spend $20 or $30 on a meal when I could have had something at home. And so those things are important.
That's probably
when we're
healthier
talking about,
too.
Yeah, reducing the waste that we have. I have to admit, though, now I have been smart that I have not bought any big ticket items. I have spent the first year of my retirement. It seemed like my house just said, "Hey, look, my house has become a sponge. I had to put a new roof on. I had to add a new air conditioner. I had to put on a new garage door." It looked like things were coming out of nowhere. So I've spent an awful lot of money this first year of my retirement, and I hope I don't have to spend any more. And then I shared with my audience that out of the woodwork, when I got ready, it looks like I'm a couple of months from paying off this last car, the agency called and said, "Hey, come get you another car. We're ready. You know, you can come pick up another car without any payment, I mean, without a down payment." And so they set me up. You know, I rode by there today, and so I had to be real careful, because I rode by there today. I didn't stop. But, boy, it just something seemed like calling me. Said, "Now I can go pick up a car without no money down, but I'm gonna resist. I'm going to resist because I need to start saving that
you
money."
You do it. Yeah, you do it if you need it, because the devil is busy. He is going to go after you if you're doing the right thing. So as long as you're doing the right thing, you just need to expect that he's there, and you just have to push him back. You were talking about purchasing a car. That's one thing I want to advise people, especially young people. If you are purchasing a home, don't purchase a car. Don't make any major expenditures, because when that stuff comes up on your credit, and they're going to look at how you're going to be able to afford a car payment and a mortgage payment at the same time, that's not going to look good for you, and you just don't need the stress. I really look at trying to make this process as stress-free as possible.
And that is so important. You're right. I think that it's important to recognize that you need to eliminate debt and extra expenses when you're looking at trying to purchase a home, instead of accumulating more expenses. And I really would love to use that extra money that I'm going to gain from paying my car off to possibly look at the possibility of investing in some long-term investments versus short-term riding around in a new car, even though it would be nice to push a button and crank it up versus the key. But I know I'm going to resist. So.
And know that your investment deteriorate time you walk off the lot with it as well. So just remember
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
Keep driving.
And the thing is, too, with your home.
Just keep driving on by.
The thing is, too, with your home, you want to look at what's your purpose in having the home. You like you were talking about all the money you sunk into the house. Now, are you if you're one of those people that travels, maybe you don't need a big extravagant home. And the one thing I do want to say to everybody is, don't buy a home to keep up with somebody else. Don't do it. Buy it for you. You do you. I like having a home with a nice yard because I like to entertain. We used to have an annual picnic, which I hope to pick up again. And you know, it's nice to have family and friends over and to just relax and lay eyes on each other because a lot of the people that since I've purchased this house, a lot of people that I used to see are no longer with me. And it's nice to see them when I can, you know, so I would say just also when you're deciding what type of home you're getting and everything, get the home for what makes you happy and not to impress somebody else. That's crucial.
Now, it is important. It is a monster investment. Listen, we're going to go on our last break, and we're going to come back and do what we call our final word. We only have about 16 minutes left. So we're going to go on our final break and come back to have our final word for today.
Hello. I'm the music major. This is my man, J.I. Gray. He got a question to ask. I'm cool, Jay.
Is there anybody in the love?
Thank you.
darling.
Regina, what is your final thought for today? I know you were a little late coming in, but you have so much insight that you normally give us as a group. So tell us what's on your mind and your final words that you'd like to share with all of us this evening.
Welcome to Wheel of Fortune Triple Red Hot 7.
Well,
I hope that was your final word, Regina.
That wasn't me. See, you always think
okay.
wrong about me. I'd like to say that I'm going to continue to listen, and I'm going to speak with James personally to see what insight we were given regarding getting that initial start on savings, especially if we started late. How do we get an initial start? And what is it that we can use to keep ourselves committed to that initial start? That's going
well, one
to,
of
and
the
I hope
things
you gave. I hope we
well,
were
Gretchen
given
is
some information.
To be, coming on, Gretchen is going to be coming on our show on a monthly basis, and I hope all of us are able to develop a plan to assist us to increase our wealth through real estate and other means. You know, part of what this show's purpose is to help us plan out an action plan to guide us through making our world better, on not only on a personal basis, but also as a community, as a state, as a city, and as a country. And so we got to do all these things because we got to have our minds right. And so
well, James,
I look
do you have
forward
her
to
personal
her
information?
Assisting in this. Excuse me?
Do you have her personal information? The email
yes,
address?
I do.
And is that on your website? Okay, then. Thank you. I'll be in touch.
All right.
And
Audrey,
I just wanted to say also to look at the vehicles that you already may have at your disposal. If you have a bank, if you have a credit union, and look at what available. A CD right now in a lot of cases is giving more of a return than a savings account or and a money market may be giving more than a savings account. And if you're, let's say, planning this out, let's say you're not buying a house this year, you're buying a house in 3 years, at least that's some money, something that you could save up and sock away so that when you are ready to make that purchase, that money is sitting there and you know doing some sort of at least minimal growth for you. And there are other options too. But I would definitely say to just say, okay, how much time do I have and am I prepared? You know, because I have people come to me all the time and they're ready to buy a house. In their heart, they're ready to buy a house. But their finances may not be ready, and that's the key thing is that you have to be – all of you has to be on the same page in order to do it.
Audrey, what is your final word for this evening?
One thing that we know is that companies are not in the business of reproducing land. So as Gretchen has said, this is one of the largest investments that we will ever have. It behooves us to prepare, plan, and research.
Definitely. Prepare, plan, and research. And there's a lot of resources out there. It's not like you have to go to the library. And the library is great, too, but you have a lot of things at your disposal. Go to Realtor.com because that has a lot of information too. It puts out articles on a regular basis regarding property ownership. So go to Realtor.com. That's one way. I would also say talk to a realtor. Sit down and talk with a realtor. You don't have to commit. They would like you to. I would like you to. But talk to a realtor. Talk to a real estate attorney. There are some states where you need more than a realtor. You actually need a real estate attorney, in order to complete the transaction for you. You know, so just get some guidance. And like I said, talk to people who have had success
in, you know, the area that you're interested in.
Joyce, your final thought for today?
Well, my goal is, Gretchen, would be the next 2 years. My husband has informed us that we will be downsizing and relocating into another state, which is Nevada. But I guess throughout the coming times that you come on, possibly I would need your help as to what do we do as retirees, as to how do we prepare to take ourselves to this step, you know, by us both not having a job, you know, because most of the time to get homes is, so that's what I would be interested in as we grow. And thank you so much.
Definitely. You're welcome. You're welcome. I look forward to talking with you. One of the things I would also do, especially since you know where you're moving, is to talk to the Chamber of Commerce in the area where you're going and get information about the area, find out what the tax rates are, find out what, you know, the rules are in terms of that particular area, so you can kind of get an idea of what type of circumstances you'll face as you'll be living there.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Tassie, your final word for this evening?
No word. Just wanted to say thank you for everything that you've already told us and for all the comments that everyone else made. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy.
Well, Gretchen, I want to share with you. You know, I'm not real big on fancy cars, even though I went by that lot today and I looked and I didn't see anything I was interested in, so I kept going. And I'm going to get through this period without buying. I got two SUVs, and I'm going to get them painted and really spark it up. If I had my dream of what I wanted to invest in and what I wanted to purchase, I really want to purchase me a condo on the beach or a small home on some beach somewhere where I can go anytime I want to, and that would be my dream. And so we're going to have to put together a plan that allows me to have my little piece of real estate on the beach.
One thing I would ask you is, do you need two SUVs? That's the one thing that can help
towards
your goal.
I got to have two SUVs because I have to be able to go out there and say eeny, meeny, miny, moe. I don't like the thought of just having one car.
Okay.
Mm. Now, both of them are paid for.
You have to look at. Mm-hmm.
Both of them are paid for.
One might help you get the condo that you want. Because since you're here and the condo's on the beach, then you're going to also have to pay for a property manager. We'll talk about that later, too.
Well, I would want to rent it out most of the time and just – actually, my perfect scenario would be renting it out enough to pay the mortgage so I don't have to pay anything. That would be my perfect scenario.
Well, that sounds good to me, too.
I mean, that's the perfect scenario. Now, I have, you know, I don't know if that's, you know, that is something that happens, but that's something I want to believe is possible.
Well, you have, like I said, you have to plan for it. And since you're not giving up one of those SUVs, you're going to have to find that money somewhere.
Well, we're going to find the money somewhere, but we're going to start on the plan. You have to plan before you have the money, or do you need the money before you have a plan?
I would suggest having the plan, then the money. But if you have the money, then make a plan with the money. Or if you have, you know, because it's good to have both. It really is.
Okay. Well, we're going to work to have the money, but I'm going to have fun with the plan. All right.
Okay.
That's my final word. Now, any of y'all want to go in with me on this beach house or this beach condo, I'm more than willing to bring you in on it because I don't think there's no better life than waking up on the beach and having the sun rise on the coast. I think that's an awesome way to live. I want to thank you for being a part of our show.
Will you be in it?
No, no, I still have my home, but I rent it. I want to rent it out enough to pay the monthly mortgage.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I want to be the timeshare person. I'm serious now. Don't think I'm playing. All right, we will see you, Gretchen, the second Wednesday of every month. We so look forward to it, and that we're going to talk about how to increase our wealth through real estate and a lot of other subjects. We don't want to limit Gretchen to just one subject area. She is going to be an awesome source of information from a lot of different areas. So we so look forward to her being a part of our team. Guys, you take care, and we'll see you tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Take care, everybody.
Take care. God bless, everybody. Thank you.
Never would Thank have you. Made Bye-bye. It.
Never could have made it without you. I would have lost it all. But now I see how you were there for me, and I can say never would have made it, never could have made it without you. I would have lost it all, but now I see how you were there for me, and I can say I'm stronger, I'm wiser, I'm better.